What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast. It is Inauguration Day here in America, but more importantly, it is Hump Day! And Thea was here to, you know,
celebrate alongside me.
And to let us, you know, get out our Hump Day frustrations on him by humping him.
I know. It's always nice when it's hump day, obviously.
Of course.
But the fact that it's a short week just continues to pay off and surprise and delight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so fabulous. I hope everyone is enjoying their short week.
Yeah, no, I definitely am. Even though, like, not to be annoying, but like, it could be shorter.
It could be a little shorter.
Just like a little.
Let's trim off that Friday.
2-3 days. Like, it could definitely be shorter.
Let's trim off the Friday.
It is a Wednesday, though, and the news is just cycling about. Lots of Bachelor
drama.
We
have a lot to talk about today.
We have Dear Toasters. We have Cameron Westcott interview at the end of the episode, which is just iconic, beautiful, stunning, and smart. She's a queen, which we'll also be recapping Real Housewives of Dallas before that. So just, like, stay tuned for an adventure.
Stay tuned for an adventure. Also, today's a big day for me because I'm getting my hair cut today.
You are?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm just doing, like, cut off all the split ends, like, and dead ends. People, like, comment on my Instagram telling me, like, my ends look split. Like, it's so fucking rude.
That's so hurtful.
It's so hurtful, but they're not wrong.
But also, it's a testament to the type of camera you're using because it's obviously so high quality. How are people seeing your split ends on Instagram?
100%. So I'm getting, like, a trim of all the dead ends, and then I'm also going to do a lot of layers. But, you know, the decision hasn't been made yet. Like, convince me otherwise. Convince me to do an Ana de Armas.
No,
haircut.
I would never do that.
Do you want a petition for any sort of haircut for me?
You know, I was a really, really big champion and lobbyist of your bob.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to bring it back for so many years. But I think I've actually sat on it long enough. And I'm glad you didn't do it because I don't think it's the right cut for you right now. I think you're not there yet.
Yeah, no, I'm not there yet. I will go back to the bob life
but
at some
point.
But I would
love something drastic, like a shoulder length.
Me too, like a curtain bang. No, that's just not my vibe whatsoever.
And it looks good on Margo.
Let Snitch have her moment.
Yeah, but I don't hate the idea of doing something major.
I know. So I really am just going to, like, sit back. I'm going to give an idea of what I'm looking for, but also say, do what you think is best.
Yeah, no, you know,
like, I want to walk out with something that I didn't expect, which is never what you want from a haircut, but just goes to show how bored we all are.
Yeah, but, like, I have a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder from haircuts of, you know, of lives past, and I now always go into a haircut with, like, very specific instructions. I don't want to leave here crying.
No.
And I don't want to lie and say I like it when I actually go home and cry.
But me too, but just, like, I want to look at something different in the mirror every day. Like, that's how much I'm just craving a change.
Yeah, no, your hair is really long. You're getting to, like, the mole woman phase.
Yeah.
And that's when it's time.
So I'm really excited because I don't even, like, really style it for the show anymore. I just, like, put it behind my ears or put it in a bun. So I'm excited to have, like, an actual haircut and not just hair.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, so that's really exciting. And other than that, I went to the dentist yesterday.
All good?
All good, which was really surprising because I was having some pain, but...
Oh, and then we recorded a fabulous Patreon episode that you could check out at patreon.com/morningtoast. A little Q&A. New year, new questions, new us.
Yes, very good stuff. People are asking some good questions.
Oh, my legs are sore. I'm like, I've been finding new ways to sit on this couch that, like, make my boots look cool.
You know what? Our boots looked so cool yesterday, both of us.
So I am recreating my position from yesterday, and it's really not comfortable.
Yeah, but, you know, beauty is pain.
I know, but just, like, being this beautiful all the time, it's a lot of work.
And it's a lot of pain.
And being not only this beautiful, but also a published author in T-minus 6 days, Girl with No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster, now available for pre-order at anywhere they sell books, ebooks, audiobooks, and hardcover books. I read a little excerpt on the toast yesterday.
Did you get any feedback? Was like Maverick coming out of the woodwork being like, Claudia, well, I loved you back.
A bunch of people like who I know personally who listen to the toast, they're like, who's Maverick? I changed a lot of people's name in the book just because like I did not want those phone calls like or text messages coming
of
in from
course.
People.
And also it's like still like your first love. Like you don't want, it's personal.
No, and it's, and I've actually spoken about him like many times on the toast. And if you wanted to, you could literally find out his name. But I also really like that like on the first page, like where it has like the copyright information, it also says some names and identifying details have been changed to protect the privacy of individuals. Like what? Did I write a thriller?
Yes.
It's thrilling.
Yes. Claudia and Maverick, the love story.
So like I would be open to reading another excerpt if you were open to it.
Oh, sure. I need
Do you
time
want
to
choose a page?
My coffee. Now that this is my first coffee of the day here, I actually don't like have enough coffee before the show starts. So yes, I'll choose a page. 31.
Any reason? Oh, and I opened to page 32. That's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
I don't know what the sign is, but this is chapter one, you know, all about our childhood. Oh, this is good.
Okay.
So obviously as a child, I was like very, you know, loud, loved to sing.
Nuts.
Jackie can attest.
Nuts would be the word.
So you would think my love of performing and captivating audiences would be persuasive, but I made the decision early on not to get into musical theater during high school. Even though I knew I could sing better than half those snot-nosed kids, I didn't want to be associated with the stigma of being a drama kid, which is ironic because if you think about it, that's exactly who I was, a dramatic kid. But I'd seen Mean Girls one too many times and thought that I couldn't be popular while also following my passion for singing. As I'd learned from the fictional halls of Constant Billard School for Girls and North Shore High, you couldn't be a drama geek and a popular kid. It was an antiquated view of high school, but it was what I genuinely believed. I cared more about being well-liked than anything else. At one point, I did join choir for half a second, but I dropped out immediately because it was so lame. Plus, I really struggled to be a part of an ensemble choir. I was a soloist through and through. So when I didn't get the first solo, I bailed. Thank you.
Claudia, that's beautiful.
Thank you so much. Available at girlwithnojob.com.
But also,
book.
What you just said really goes to further the point that we were making last week
about High School Musical.
High School Musical, the musical, the 100%. Series, and how those walls are really being broken down, and you would have really benefited that from that as a child.
100%. And I like can't. I never like when people always ask me like, did you do musical theater and like, were you like one of those kids? And like, I'm so one of those kids, but I never did it because there was like such. Like stereotypes around like being a part of certain extracurricular activities, which is so lame. And that's why when I like, came to that conclusion in the book and then I watched High School Musical, the musical, the series, I'm like, oh my God, these kids are so lucky. Like to go to a high school where like you could just be anything you want, like that's iconic. And to have like media, like popular shows, like be encouraging that is so cool.
Yes, very, but very cool.
I suffered the fate of Mean Girls and I knew I could not join the drama club, even though I would win a star.
Oh, of course. That is your calling.
Even though I didn't really agree with a lot of their production choices. Like, my senior play was Pippin. Male
no, it
lead.
Wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
But you were in your senior play.
Oh, no, sorry. My play the senior year was Pippin. And that guy was going to go out for it, but I'm like, Pippin. And, yes, the play that the senior class put on was 13. And while I didn't... I gave such a stellar audition. And I don't want to disrespect, like... anyone who was in the production because I feel like maybe they listened to the show, but like I just know that I had a better singing voice than literally anyone like who got any bigger parts than me, not to be rude, but it's true. I'm sorry. And I didn't get it, and I just felt like it was obviously because like I had never been in drama club, and so like the drama kids ran the senior production, so like why are we gonna give this person who like literally never entered the theater, why are we gonna give her a role? I did get a major solo that they cut, and I threw a temper tantrum, and they did put it back in.
Do you want to hear a sadder story?
Yeah, I know yours. Yeah.
So for our senior production, it was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I was really excited to participate. And everybody who listens to the show knows that I cannot carry a tune.
But you have so much passion.
I have so much passion. I feel like I have so much to offer. And like in an acting role, I feel like there's a role for me.
And also like being an integral part of an ensemble cast is not all about singing. Like
right.
It's about acting and dancing.
Right.
And
energy.
Yes.
And I had the energy to bring. And so I prepared for my audition. Obviously, I sang The Climb. And I sang it like as good as I possibly could, and I got the part of
Violet
Beauregard, and I was so excited.
What a role. Perfect for you.
Perfect for me. Like literally, she doesn't sing that much, but she has a big role and she's got a lot to offer. And then they canceled the play.
Oh yeah, there wasn't enough interest. That's really fucking sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my play did make it. It was 13 and I got the role of Cassandra. She was just like a chatty cheerleader. And I'm not gonna lie, it was a wonderful experience, and it made me wish, like, my whole high school experience, like, I had done theater.
Yeah. Well, speaking of girlwithnojob.com/book, we are recording an episode next week that drops launch week of the book with Claudia and the Redheads. And as part of every Redheads episode, if you listen, we take questions from the listeners. And so if you guys have questions about Claudia's book, or upon reading it, you have questions about the book that you read, or, you know, her journey as an author, email them to theredheadsbookclub@gmail.com.
But the Redheads Book Club is really living in the 90s.
What do you mean?
You take questions via email?
Yes, we do. It works lovely.
Why don't you take it on Instagram, like in the Q&A?
No, it's too fleeting. And in email, like, people actually, they write like
thoughtful.
They write thoughtful things. They talk about like their initial thoughts on the book, and we read the whole thing.
Oh, that actually is nice.
Like, they have substance.
That's funny.
That's what we do at the Redheads.
No, substantial. Yeah. Speaking of podcasts, I'm on Mood with Lauren Elizabeth. Today just came out, one of my favorite interviews of all time. Lauren is a queen, and I misspoke yesterday. My Taylor Strecker interview doesn't come out till next week, so sorry if you were looking for it yesterday. It's not out yet, but Mood with Lauren Elizabeth is out today, and it's so fabulous. I think
love to see it. Also, the Snatchler is out today, and I'm sure she has a lot to say.
We jinxed the Snatchler on this show yesterday.
We did. I'm sorry, Snatchler. Sorry, even though Snatchler. You don't listen.
So should we just dive in? Because I feel like we have lots to do.
I think the Snatchler is the perfect segue into diving into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Jackie, what's black and white and is fabulous for insurance? Zebra.
That's a good one.
Insurance can be complicated, and that's why the Zebra was created. When you use the zebra.com, insurance finally feels like it's in black and white. No more confusion, just honest rates and real companies. The Zebra is the nation's leading insurance comparison site for car and home insurance. They can help you save money today. It's so easy. Go to thezebra.com and answer a few questions to compare accurate insurance quotes for free. And don't worry, the Zebra protects your personal information and makes sure there are no hidden fees or surprises along the way. The best part? You can secure your insurance from thezebra.com or over the phone from one of their licensed insurance agents. How much money can you save on home and car insurance? Visit thezebra.com/toast. That's thezebra.com/toast for insurance in black and white. Love, I gotta come it. Up with a better joke, but
no, that was good. That okay. was good. Okay, the first story, the big story of the day, the Bachelorette's Claire Crawley and Dale Moss break up. So shocking. Dale confirmed the split shortly after E! News exclusively reported the couple was taking time apart. However, it doesn't sound like time apart. It sounds like a breakup in its truest form.
Yeah, it's like the article came out and he was unhappy with it. So he like literally clarified. Like, no,
it's more permanent than that.
Yeah, right.
I'm not coming
back. Don't be waiting.
He said, I wanted to share with you all that Claire and I have decided to go our separate ways. We appreciate the love and support we've received from so many people, but this is the healthiest decision for us both at this time. We strongly believe in leading with love and always remaining true to oneself. We only hope for the best things for one another.
I mean, this is so not shocking if you've been keeping up. Even in just the way that they met was so, like, toxic in a lot of ways. Just, like, the jumping to conclusions, getting engaged after literally knowing each other for a week. And I'm honestly surprised they lasted as long as they did, but I have a feeling they haven't been together for quite some time. This just is, like, the least surprising thing ever. And I don't know, like, it kind of makes me miss Claire. Like, even though she was, like, so chaotic, she was so entertaining. And, like, this was, even though it feels like a waste of time because they broke up, it was an adventure.
It was an adventure. I'm not going to lie. Obviously, this is so obvious. That's what you get when you don't trust the process and you go with your first instinct and you jump to conclusions. But I just, like, when I think about Claire right now, I feel sad. You know,
of course,
like, that was her big opportunity. She completely botched it. And in botching it,
she wanted to prove everyone
wrong. In botching it, like, I had hoped that she knew what she was doing, and she didn't. And I don't know what happened here, but, like, I don't think Dale signed on to the show to leave in a week and, like, be engaged and get married for the rest of his life. I just don't think that was, like, really what he wanted to do.
No, it's true. Like, when you think about it, the odds of becoming the Bachelorette, which is such an amazing opportunity, are so slim. And the odds of getting it when you haven't been on the franchise in, like, 6 years are even more slim. So it was really, like, this gift that was dropped into her lap, and she totally squandered it. And now it's like, it's sad because it's like a joke.
Yeah, and she's single again when she had 25 guys who were, I mean, I want to say, like, who were there for her and wanting to get engaged to her, but, like, Dale is one of those guys, and I don't think that's what he wanted.
Yeah, not
but
everyone.
But, like, there were people who were really interested in her, and on the bright side, a contestant from her season has asked her out following their split.
Stop.
This guy, Spencer only came on for Tayshia. He never met Claire.
Oh, that's weird.
So I hope they go out.
I don't know. I'm just like kind of like as much as it is entertaining, it's also exhausting. And her journey just might not be one that needs to be televised. And I think maybe that's the lesson here.
Yeah, no, no, no.
That's the lesson
here. Oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 no. That's the lesson here. It's like some journeys need not be televised.
Yeah, but I hope that she goes on this date. Like, I just want there to be like something next for her because I just feel really sad. Like, she just took this big chance. She blew up the Bachelorette, as Chris Harrison
said.
And for nothing.
Yeah. And I feel like she just deals with a lot personally. And this is just like, and I feel like she takes like breakups really hard. She's not the type of girl who like goes to a club.
No,
and
she
like,
can't. We saw how hard she took it when no one got up to talk to her at the group date.
Right. Like, and I'm thinking at the end of the day, like maybe Dale just didn't show up.
No, I think he did not show up.
And that's upsetting because he did mention, you know, quite a few times that he would show up.
He would
her.
Be showing up.
Yeah.
But then he did not.
And that's the worst when you're expecting someone to show up and they just don't.
It's a flake.
It's so flaky.
Yeah.
One time you called me flaky and like it really affected me because I feel like I'm like not, but like maybe I am.
I don't know if that's the word I would use to describe you currently.
Currently, no, but I think maybe when you said it, you like kicked me into shape.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's like a hurtful word.
Yeah, it is. I think some people would describe me as flaky, too.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. I try not to be flaky because I just, like, don't commit to the initial plan. But
the problem is when you make a commitment. And that's why I live a commitment-free
life. But when I make a commitment, I do try to honor it. But I just try not to make commitments, you know?
Yeah, when I make a commitment, I try to honor it and just, like, pray that the other person cancels first. There's literally nothing better than, like, really not wanting to go to do something. Even if you love the person.
Yeah,
you just don't want to get out of your bed. And, like, just avoiding it, you're just okay, I'm gonna go, I'm not gonna text them, and then like an hour before they're like, hey, sorry, something came up, and you're just like so happy because you're not the flaky one, and then you also don't have to get out of bed.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
thing. An iconic moment. Yeah.
So Claire, I don't know, I just, it made me sad. Like, I can't.
I know. I wish I had some words of wisdom, but your energy, like I said and have said many times, is super chaotic, and I just don't know if like we would jive.
Yeah. Well, our next story is some happy Bachelor news that I don't think we've shared yet. One, Ari Leindike Jr. and Lauren Burnham are pregnant with twins.
Oh.
And they are revealing the sex.
Do they have
sexes.
An Instagram account for the twins yet?
Oh, I'm sure that they do.
Because they're like classic influencers. Like Alessi had a
baby
sonogram. Before she was born, like, she had an Instagram with sonograms
up. Yeah, and her Instagram is, like, popping now.
Yeah.
But they are having a boy and a girl. Alessi is getting a baby brother and a baby sister.
You know, the more I think about it as a mom, having twins just must be ideal.
I know. I used to think it wasn't, but now I think that it is.
It's, like, so much fucking work. Like, I watched Olivia, like, just the pregnancy is just so much work on your body, and it's so hard, and then the nursing. And to bang it out with two doesn't seem so bad.
No, it doesn't seem so bad.
The delivery, not ideal, but still.
Yeah. I'm really happy for them. We never really talk about Ari and Lauren anymore, but like.
But we were big supporters of them.
And they showed up for each other and they continue to.
And they proved everyone wrong. When at the end of the day, like, I feel like one of the things I don't always agree with like Bachelor Nation in like their assumptions about people, but I felt like they all really took Becca Kufrin's side in the Ari thing, which of course, like, Ari shouldn't have chosen the wrong girl, but he tried to right his wrong. And in the end of the day, like, Becca ended up becoming the Bachelorette, which for a multitude of reasons is like way better than being a winner. Like, yeah, everyone wants to be the Bachelorette. Winning is good too, but it's not as good as becoming the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
So I feel like even though it was like a tough situation, he handled it very well and he ended up following his heart. And literally him and Lauren have like such a
beautiful life,
beautiful, happy, full, peaceful life. And I feel like they're one of the people who like Bachelor Nation like owes an apology to.
Yeah.
There's a few people like that. Olivia Caridi.
Yes. She got her apology though.
She did. Who else? Me. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But they're like, that's just one of those things that like, I remember was so crazy. Like when it was all going down, it was like literally like the biggest scandal of our lives. And it's like, now it's so silly. Like, they're so happy.
Yeah, they're so happy. So we're happy for them.
See, Ari was a choice in Bachelor that was like so random, but I actually ended up really liking.
Yeah.
Whereas Claire is like, I don't know, I just can't decide if I like lived for Claire's season. I think I did. Like, I think I was living for the chaos.
It is exciting.
And honestly, like, even though I'm really enjoying the season of Matt James, like, Matt James is a little boring because he's so nice and so lovely and is in love with everyone and everyone's in love with him. Like, while that is beautiful to watch, it's not always the most entertaining. Whereas Claire, like, you truly never know who she was going to yell at next. And it was iconic.
Yeah, but I do think for the format of the show, like, it is important that you feel like championing the lead. Yeah. And Claire made that hard at times.
Yes, yes, yes. That's very true.
She should also set up a date with that guy who left Tayshia for her, because that was a great guy.
Unless he's in a relationship, yes.
Yeah.
He was a cutie. I think his name was Zach.
Jason.
Sure.
She should have trusted the process. The process would have shown her who was true.
But you know what? She was so determined that even if she trusted the process, she would have ended up with Dale.
No, but she might have seen something about Dale. She might have, like, you know, a different connection might have burned slower, but prospered later. Like, that's how the show works.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they broke up, but if I had to venture a guess, it would definitely be on Dale's part. Like, I think he wanted out.
Yeah, he was, like, out at restaurants. Like,
I heard he was, like, seen at restaurants, like, with girls, even kissing them on the lips. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. It was, I think Claire is definitely heartbroken right now.
For sure. And I think Dale is wondering how he gets to paradise.
Yeah, or just how he gets to the next brand
deal. I actually think Dale will probably be in paradise because they said that they're going to most likely do paradise this year.
Well, I feel like it's actually really conducive to COVID because they don't leave the house.
Yeah.
Except for the dates, but.
Yeah. No, I think we'll be seeing him there.
Yeah.
Okay, next story, a little update from last week where we let you know that Armie Hammer was leaving the movie Shotgun Wedding. Josh Duhamel may replace him.
Love that for Josh Duhamel. Any money in Josh Duhamel's pockets just truly makes me happy. He's a king and I absolutely adore him.
Mm-hmm.
And so hot.
After Armie Hammer's DM scandal, it has come back to bite him. Josh Duhamel is swooping in to offer a helping hand. The Transformers actor is reportedly in early talks to take over for Armie Hammer in Shotgun Wedding, which co-stars Jennifer Lopez, according to Deadline. So it's not confirmed yet. But I also think that Josh Duhamel, like, if this is some sort of romantic comedy, I think Josh Duhamel is the guy.
I mean, there were those years where literally Josh Duhamel could not make a bad movie. Win a Date with Tad Hamilton, so fucking good. That other one with Katherine Heigl where they get the baby and they, like, their friends die and they have to take care of the baby and they end up falling in love and she's like a morning show producer.
Oh, wait, I'm going. I feel like you're putting two Katherine Heigl movies together. Hold
no,
on.
I'm not.
Because she's a morning show. Well, no, she's an E! News host in
Knocked Up. But no, that's not it.
Okay.
Their friends die and they're like two friends who hate each other, but they have to come together because they leave the baby to both of them. And of course, they end up falling in love and like becoming a family.
Yes, yes. Also,
what's the movie called?
I'm going to find it, but also Safe Haven.
Yes, of course.
Life as We Know It.
Yes.
That's the one.
He's just like a great rom-com actor and I love him. And he's so handsome. Like, I hope every time I talk about someone on the show who I like someone sends me a message about like something bad they did. Please do not send me any messages about Josh Duhamel. Like, I just want to live in a world where he's like a nice and respectful, chivalrous man. And I know that he is. I do.
Yeah.
I know it in my heart.
The Lost Husband. No, I just watched that.
Oh, yeah. I never saw it.
It was good. He was great.
He's just so handsome. Like,
yeah,
a great leading man in a rom-com.
He's also in New Year's Eve. Ugh, what a horrible movie.
Oh, yes. That was a bad one.
Yeah.
But Valentine's Day was good.
They're the same thing to me.
No, one has Taylor Swift and one does not, so.
Okay, next story. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West marriage issues will be featured on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
I mean, so, it's actually crazy, by the way, that we've been literally talking about the Kardashians and Kim has not spoken out on it once. Like,
I know. And I just wanted to take this moment to like recognize that it's been a few weeks of these rumors and Kim still has not said anything. And for the Kimye stans, like, we're in a good spot.
There is a beacon of light.
There is light for the Kimye stans. Kim has filmed her marriage problems with Kanye for the final episodes of Keeping Up. Page Six has exclusively learned, though Page Six was the one to report that they were divorcing.
Yes.
So, grain of salt. A source with knowledge of their show, which is ending after more than a decade-long run and 20 seasons on E! Later this year, said the disintegration of Kim and Kanye's marriage will feature heavily in the final storyline as they make their exit from the reality show.
I mean, that's like, if they are actually headed for divorce and like that's the final season, like, sad. Like, I want to see a final season with like iconic Kris Jenner moments. Like, I want everyone to be drinking. Like, I want light and happiness and positivity. I'm so done with like my TV show is becoming just as sad as the world around us. Like, I need a place to be filled with positivity and light. And that has been Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And I don't want to see, even if they are getting divorced, honestly, I'd rather they ignore it.
Yeah. The source said that the Kardashians intend to go out with a bang. They filmed Kim discussing her marriage problems, but everybody involved is on an NDA because the finale won't air until later in 2021. Okay. I just want to say my personal opinion, considering like sources just make shit up. My opinion is that that is not true, because I think they would rather go into their new show with a bang than leave it at E, where they've already been paid and they don't owe them ratings.
I know, but I feel like they really care about the legacy of the original show, and it's obviously about
business. The legacy is intact.
Yeah.
All they have to do is film another season of the same stuff that they were filming. I actually don't think...
No, but it's a different show name.
I don't think that they are inclined to give any big scoop to the last season.
And at some point when they start talking about drama that literally was 2 years ago, like, I actually don't care.
Yeah. I'm going to say, like, maybe I'll be wrong, but I just don't think that that makes sense. Like, when you're leaving your job, you don't, like, do the best work ever in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it's all topical. So I actually feel like they will discuss it on this season and then still go into the new show with a bang. I'm excited for the new show. Like, I hope it's different format in the sense of, like, I feel like a lot of times when there's not a lot going on in the Kardashians' lives, it's so much commercials with filled with like filler airtime and like dumb lunch scenes with like Scott and MJ. Like, I'm looking for more
substance.
No, I
do like their friendship.
As do I. But not, they're not the stars of the show. And sometimes it has felt that way. So I'm looking for more substantial content from them in 2021 via Hulu.
Yeah.
Or 2022, whenever it is.
Whenever it is. It'll be good.
It'll be good. No, I'm excited for them. Starting a new venture is always exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I support them no matter what.
I agree. Fifth and final story, a little record-breaking news.
Oh, yes.
Morgan Wallen's Dangerous, the double album, debuts at number one on the Billboard 200, breaks country streaming records.
I thought you were talking about Olivia Rodrigo.
Well, we did talk about Olivia Rodrigo last week also, but we can talk about her too because she's literally broken every streaming record, like 13 million streams daily.
Debuted number one. I just thought that's what you were referring to. But this is also very interesting, especially because I'm a really big Morgan Wallen fan, but I haven't had the time to listen to the album like at all.
I've made the time.
And I haven't heard it anywhere, so I'm like, and he actually released it early because it got leaked, so it was like a really kind of a messy release. But to still break all those records when you don't even have like the proper, like, you do like announcement, then you do press and all this, like, it's so contrived, is awesome.
No, the album is sensational, and I think it's just like a testament to how many Morgan Wallen stans there are out there. I see you guys, and I'm so glad that there's so many of us.
He's ushering in like a new generation of young country music fans, 100%.
He was on the cover, I think it was of Billboard this week, Country Without Borders, which I thought was a really great headline.
I don't get it.
It's like, because he transcends the country genre, like everybody loves him, so it's like Doctors Without Borders. Like,
oh, I do love a Doctors Without Borders reference, seeing as how Theo is truly like
the doctor without one border,
without a single one, and he's really like the leader of all the doctors who collectively don't have any borders.
Yes.
And I just have to say, Doctors Morgan Without Borders is an amazing organization. We're not making fun of it, but it's just like a little joke here at the Toast.
Yeah, that Dr. Theodore Fritzschemann is a doctor without borders.
Yeah, and I think it's so important. Like, when I go to doctors, I ask them, I'm like, do you guys have borders? Because, like, I just think it's so important
to not.
I think it's an important quality, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I now feel about my country artists. Like,
if you are a country artist with borders, like, goodbye.
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 So Morgan Wallen has none. Not one.
Thank God.
None.
Not one. Zero. 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 Done. I'm so happy for him and his borderless music.
Yeah, so he has...
You remember the bookstore Borders?
Yes.
That was an iconic place.
It was so warm and cozy.
It was just like a friendly place.
But I think the issue with it was that they had borders.
And that's why they didn't succeed.
You mustn't have one.
No, not a single one. It is integral.
I really do think that this is a really interesting factoid. Obviously, the album is really good, but I do think album streams are suffering, like, in this
new world.
Yeah, in the climate right now where you're not going out, you're not, like, you know, taken out. Actually, I think you can go on a boat right now, but, like, you know, where it's not the atmosphere to just be listening to music all the time. And so I think, like, the fact that so many people have elected to stream Morgan Wallen's album says a lot about his future as, like, a major country music artist.
I couldn't agree more. And if I see one more fucking TikTok of people in Australia at a club, I'm literally just going to move there. I saw them literally playing Champagne Problems in a fucking club. So, like,
in a club.
In a club, like, packed to the brim, Champagne Problems, everyone vaccinated, happy and healthy. Like, I was just saying this to you earlier. Like, if I don't get to a club soon. Like, I'm...
She's going to burst.
I'm starting to malfunction.
No, because like, we're coming up on, like, the 1 year. You should find the last club that you... Last day that you went to a club, like, in your camera roll.
I'm sure I can tell you.
Because you're coming up on 1 year of clublessness.
Yeah, it was President's Day weekend. I went on a bender and a half in Miami with Margot. And we, like, heard about coronavirus. And we're like, well, it'll go away. And it was, like, a messy ass weekend. And you know what? No regrets. Because I didn't know I would have to literally rely on those memories for literally 12 months, maybe more.
Probably more. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, and I know my fellow party girls listening will definitely hear, like, relate to this, but I'm just letting you know, like, if I don't get to a club in the next 6 months, like, there will be consequences. And that's on facts. Like, and I'm sorry, but that's just what's going to happen.
We'll do our best.
Human nature is human nature.
Yeah. You can only keep her out of the club for so long.
Yeah, no, I will literally go to an empty club. Like, I just need to feel, like, the lights.
The music in your veins.
The music on my veins, the lights on my face, like, people's hot breath everywhere. Like, I don't know. I just, if I don't get to a club soon, like, there will be consequences. And that's the end of that. Let's dive into our TV recap segment where we talk about the Real Housewives of Dallas before we bring on Cameron Ruska. And that segment is brought to you by Stamps.com. One thing we learned in 2020, the internet is even more awesome than we thought. Groceries online, movies online, doctors online, and of course, going to the post office online with Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows businesses to do all of their mailing and shipping right from their computer. No need to leave their home or office or home office. Stamps.com has saved small businesses all over the country thousands of hours and tons of money. And now you can too. With Stamps.com, you get the services of the post office and UPS right on your computer, plus big discounts on mailing and shipping rates. Whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out orders, or even a giant warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. You use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. Plus, like we mentioned, with these discounts with Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off of every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail and 62% off UPS shipping rates. It is a fraction of the cost of expensive postage meters. It's a no-brainer, saving you time and money. And make 2021 the year you stop wasting time and going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There is no risk, and with our promo code TOAST, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitment is required or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TOAST. That's Stamps.com, promo code TOAST. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again.
Love it. Okay, Real Housewives of Dallas, another fantastic episode.
Yeah, I do wish more of minutes had been allotted to the actual party, because by the time we actually got the ladies at the party, it was like 9:45.
No, I know, and that was upsetting. There was one frame, like one shot of all the women on the table dancing, and it literally looked like a frat party. It looked like Animal House. They were like,
yeah, but there was also no one around them.
It looked like so much fun. I feel like that's exactly what you need right now.
Yeah, like a COVID-friendly outdoor pool party where I can dance on a table and get sprayed with champagne.
And I just want to thank Mr. Westcott Sr.
Thank you, sir.
For providing the grounds in which this party was held. It was so beautiful and stunning and like just a beautiful change of scenery.
Agreed.
And I wonder how he's going to feel about seeing Tiffany like regurgitate
tequila
into his hot tub.
Wait, like, why not just in the grass?
Yeah, but I just think it was so generous of him.
I agree. And so generous of Cameron to throw that party. Like, that is an expensive
party.
That
is a really nice party to throw for a friend.
Yeah, but Carrie and Cam have a really good relationship. It was nice to see Brandy back. Like, she definitely has a lot of energy and she's missed when she's not around. So I was glad to have her back. It looked like such a fun party. Really, I feel like I was following the Twitter drama between Cameron and Tiffany into last night's episode. And Cameron, I guess she like really does not drink a lot, but she was like drunk and she was like, oh my God, I can't even watch this. Like, she just like was like a dog with a bone, like not letting it go.
Well, that's, I forgot, but like that was when like Carrie Duber would call her like Badger.
Yeah, that's her MO.
That is how she gets when she's fighting with someone.
Yeah, but she recognized it on Twitter. And we love to see someone who recognizes their own shortcomings. Because
it was like, it was getting to be too much.
And her and Tiffany seemed to have like some sort of rapprochement on Twitter last night. Like, it wasn't toxic and negative. They were like working together.
That's great.
Yeah, it was good. The party seemed fun, except, you know, Carrie Brittingham is really annoying. Like, with her, I am like that too, but she's like, takes it to a level that's so aggressive, being the fun police. And I understand, like, you want it, but you don't have to worry about these women. Like, everyone will get fucked up. And I thought she really took it too far when she pushed Tiffany in the pool. And I couldn't believe Tiffany didn't freak out more. Like, I would have been so fucking annoyed.
No, me too. Regardless of whether or not you can swim, like, to be pushed in the pool is just such a juvenile thing to do.
In a full, especially, hair and makeup. Full hair
and makeup, like, stunning dress.
It, on camera, like, I feel like, when the cameras went down, everyone like fully went in the pool, but we're still working on a television show. Like, you want to look pretty. You're not going to like look like a wet dog getting out of a pool.
That's a crazy thing to do.
It was really rude. Yeah. I do think Carrie Brittingham looks amazing for 50 though. Like, it's crazy. That photo shoot, like, she actually looked fire.
Yeah. The photo shoot was like a little funny.
Oh no, the photo shoot was lame. Sorry. It was like QVC, but I meant like her body.
Oh yeah. She looks incredible, but just, it was a little like,
it was very Home Shopping Network.
Corny. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Home Shopping Network plus nipple.
Plus a nipple and like ass cheek too. Yeah, totally. And then Travis and
Stephanie.
Like, Travis is like such a dick sometimes. And I'm surprised he hasn't seen himself on TV and like reeled in that behavior. And sometimes it's like endearing and funny, but like sometimes it's just not.
Yeah, but I also can appreciate someone who like isn't just saying stuff because cameras are there.
That's true. You know,
it's just like being their self.
Yeah, I just think him and Stephanie have like a really healthy marriage. Like, if you're having those conversations on TV,
camera, like,
and it's not toxic, like, it's really helpful conversations.
I agree. Like, the conversation that they had by their lake, just so beautiful.
By their lake.
Which was a tough conversation to have, but like the fact that they had it on camera, I think, is really healthy. And then they also did their interview together where they're like fighting about money. And I think the fact that they can do that on camera like means it's not so serious.
I agree. I think they have such a good marriage. And I'm actually, the more I think about it, I think Dallas Housewives like have some of the best marriages, like Deandra and Jeremy, I'm just obsessed. Like, Jeremy's so hot. Like, and he thinks Deandra's so hot. It's just like, it's such a healthy relationship. Cameron and Court are hysterical. Like, two people speaking totally different languages. Court and Stephanie, not Court, what's his name?
Travis.
Travis and Stephanie. And I also think that Brandy and Brian have a good marriage, but they really went through it on her first season.
I don't think he's into filming.
And he was like made into a villain, and I think he wants nothing to do with it, but like likes the money and fame that it brings for Brandy, but doesn't want himself to be a part of
which
it.
Which I could respect.
Yeah.
Carrie and her husband seem to be doing better.
I think
he saw himself on TV and he's just trying to be supportive.
Yeah, and we don't know a lot about Tiffany's husband, but I'm sure they have a nice life.
She seems like she has a happy home life. Tiffany is getting a lot of personal airtime.
I mean, the whole episode was her shopping for groceries.
Yeah, no, but also she probably gets as much narrating time, like confessional time, as Cameron, if not more. Like, I feel like it's majority Tiffany and Cameron.
Agreed.
Which is a lot for a first season housewife.
I agree, but she's super funny and her confessional looks are fire.
Yeah.
So it's just like such a good season. Like, if you're not into Housewives, I would really recommend starting with this. It's also easy to start with Salt Lake City because there's only one season.
But Salt Lake City is like right now to me feels like a good reality show. I guess yes. Maybe because they haven't had a reunion yet. Like, it's not, it doesn't That's have fair. That like Housewives feel yet.
But there's only one season. Right. That's why it's easy to get into. Honestly, I feel like Potomac is actually really, there's only five seasons. Potomac and Dallas are really good places, I feel like, for Housewives stand, like newbies to start.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh my God. I just had a hiccup. So anything else about Dallas Housewives that you want to talk about?
No, I'm just really enjoying it.
Like, me too.
It's nice to have a franchise that you enjoy, but
and the wealth is real.
OC is on tonight, reunion part one. And like, I know that the season was trash, but I actually sometimes think that the worse that a season is, the better the reunion is.
Yes.
Because there's like more to talk about.
And there's this huge rumor going around.
Right. That Bronwyn offered cocaine to Shannon's daughter.
And that it comes up at the reunion.
Right.
And Bronwyn actually responded to a comment because, like, once this rumor came out, and it came out on, like, a bunch of Bravo blogs, which isn't always, like, the most accurate news source, but I think it was pretty much validated. Someone commented on Bronwyn. I guess a lot of people did, and she answered one of them being, like, I don't remember it. Shannon retold it to me. I made amends, and then I found out from someone else, like, who was there, that's really not how it went down. We'll see, but that's fucking crazy.
Crazy.
So, in my opinion, that should be grounds for firing.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to the OC reunion. Me too. All I'm saying.
And it appears as though Gina is looking phenomenal with her short, healthy hair. And if I'm going to talk negatively about her hair when it looks good, I have to allot some airtime to talking about it positively. And it looks really, really good. And I'm really happy for her.
And now, after a full season of OC, I see how I ended last season as a somewhat of a Gina stand.
By the way, me too. But you just cannot deny that the queen of OC is currently Emily Simpson. Like, you literally, and I know you want to deny it.
For Emily Simpson?
I'm an Emily Simpson. And I know you want to deny it.
No, I'm not.
But you can't. She has so much energy. And by the way, she went on this like huge health journey. So I think at the reunion, we're pretty caught up. She is the snatchler. She's like so funny. I watched her a little bit of her on Heather McMahon's podcast. And like, she was just like really taking charge of like the narrative, especially around Shane and their marriage. Cause like, I kind of feel bad for her. Like, Shane is kind of like a joke to people. He's like short.
I don't think anymore. I think he had a very redeeming season.
He did, but I just think the way like the audience treats him like is like jokey. And I just thought she was like really like standing up for her man. And I just loved it. Like, I just love her. She might be one of my favorite housewives like of all time. Even though on the worst franchise with the worst cast ever.
It's easy to shine.
It's easy. That's true. That's true.
Do you want to do Dear Toasters? Or?
Sure. Do you not?
Oh, yeah. No, I just, never mind.
Were you being rude? Sounds like you were being a little rude.
I wasn't. I thought maybe that you had forgotten.
How could I forget? I have so many cards here.
Okay. Oh
my
Sorry.
God, trying to rush me through my Emily Simpson monologue. See, I told you. She doesn't want me to like Emily Simpson. Okay. Dear Toasters, our advice segment where we offer advice to anyone who wants it. You can email us, deartoasters@gmail.com. We will always read your prompt anonymously, change some names. Let's get started. Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for being so stunning and smart, as well as my best friends in the queue. Wait, thank you for being so stunning.
We are her best friends in the queue.
No. Thank you for being so stunning and smarter.
No.
As well as my best friends.
We're beautiful and smart.
And smarter.
Oh, we're beautiful and smarter.
Let me read it again.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being so stunning and smarter, as well as my best friends in the queue.
Okay, I think the smarter was just like an error.
I love hearing about your lives. The toast is really one of the best parts of my day. Thank you so much. Sorry for making fun of your grammar.
We didn't.
Anyways, to my question. My fiance lives with his roommate, Mark. Mark has recently been bringing this girl home from work to stay the night. This is totally fine as I stay the night once or twice a week as well, just to get away from my parents every so often. However, he and this girl have been having sex literally every 5 seconds and it's loud. We can hear everything through the wall. She likes to yell and we can hear everything they are saying. It's a bit much. Monday night, they did it about 3 times in the span of 24 hours and each time we could hear them throughout the house. This has become super problematic, especially when we are trying to get work or school done. My poor fiance was in the middle of a Zoom meeting when they started and he had to go outside because of their ear blasting humping. My fiance says this has been going on for 2 weeks and while he doesn't mind that his roommate does it, but it's getting to a point where it's almost unbearable in the middle of the night, early in the morning, during a Zoom. My question is, how can we politely let our friend Mark know that him and his girlfriend are just too fucking loud when they are doing the nasty without being so overt? The walls are thin, but it's like they know they are loud and don't care. Should I push my fiance to set some boundaries, talk to Mark myself, or just let them be during their weird sex phase that they're in? Please help. Signed, a scarred toaster for life.
That's really tough. I think there's a few things. One, I think that this is like a phase of their relationship that, you know, eventually it will
fizzle
into like a less frequent activity.
They will be Miss Fizzle.
But I think that if it's interrupting Zoom calls in work and school, you could just say, you know, or have your fiance say, bro, like, could you just not while during the workday, because sometimes you can hear it.
And by the way, and it honestly, feels like an awkward conversation, but when boys do it, it's like, bro, like, it's not weird.
I don't think it's weird. And also, maybe he has no idea that like you could really hear so much. And I think that would make him like just a little self-aware and be more conscious of that, especially conscious of what time of day it's going down.
And maybe conscious of spending some time at the girl's apartment. Like, why is it always on Mark and his roommate?
Right. I would just say honesty is the best policy. Like, this is just something that you just have to confront head on.
Yeah, and it's always about the delivery, not the message.
Yeah, like, it's not angry, you know.
Right, just, it's not angry. It's just like, heads up, like, we can hear you.
We're in a shared workspace. Like, it's unprecedented times.
Yeah.
You know.
No, you're right. In these unprecedented times, we have to learn how to live together and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a prime example of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the topic is a little uncomfortable, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Pretend it's about a different topic then.
Yeah.
You know, say he's working out. Yeah. And the machine is rattling the floors.
Yeah, I hear you're elliptical.
Yeah, so approach it as you would something that's not a sensitive topic. Yeah. But just pretend you're talking about something else.
All right, next up. Dear Jackie and Claudia, longtime toaster here. I just have to thank you for all of your joy and laughter that the toast has brought me, especially during the hard days of quarantine. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend and I have been together for about 3 years and always had a really healthy and fun relationship. We don't live together, but it's something we've talked about in the next year or so. Over the last month, my boyfriend has talked a lot about this girl that he works with, Red. That's her name. Through mutual friends, she met my boyfriend who referred her to his work and basically got her a job on his team. He calls her his work wife, raves about how fun and crazy, in a good way, she is. A few times his laptop has been open to their work messages on Teams, and they seemed very flirty and definitely not the way I talk to guys at my work. I noticed that she was messaging him, her name popped up on his phone, and while he was reading the messages, he was smiling to himself, but quickly put his phone down and turned it over. I'm not a jealous or insecure person, but something about this just gives me a weird feeling. To layer it on, recently, my boyfriend opened up to me that he is feeling disconnected and frustrated in our relationship and wants to spice things up in the bedroom in an attempt to feel more connected. Over the last month, I felt him being more distant as I am the one who usually messages him first, calls and FaceTimes him, goes to see him, etc. Am I being crazy and thinking that something is going on and it's weird to have a work wife?
No, you're not crazy.
No, that you message and chat with outside of work hours? Do I have enough of a leg to stand on to confront my boyfriend about this, or do you think this is a normal low point for long-term couples, especially given that we aren't seeing each other as frequently due to COVID? Signed, a confused corporate toaster. No, there is a... I like to say where there is smoke, there is not always fire, but this building is ablaze.
No, this would really, really bother me. And it's something that's difficult to navigate.
And verbalize.
And it's not something I thought about before, but this notion of a work wife, I'm just not okay with.
Me neither, unless you're both single.
Right. And in which case, maybe get together.
You're my work wife.
Yeah, I'm really not here for this. And honestly, because it's so seemingly innocuous right now, like anything that you say, you will sound crazy and you'll only drive him closer to her,
and you don't have any concrete proof.
And like him saying he wants to spice things up, and this is the last things you want to hear, but this is how I feel. Him saying he wants to spice things up in the bedroom, it's like he's thinking, like,
thinking about
he's
her.
Trying not to have an affair, and no. So he's like, let's make the sex crazier at home.
100%. And part of me is like mad at him.
I'm sorry to laugh, like I don't know what I would do. I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable
and like literally, like I feel for you, but I kind of want you to take your power back and like break up with him. Like,
but he hasn't done anything wrong yet.
No, I know, but like just like the inferences he's making, like I know what his plan is, and like I want to beat him to it.
No, and like him looking at his phone and smiling, like,
oh, how dare you?
He's like gnawing.
Chill, bone chilling. How dare you laugh at your phone when I didn't send that message? How fucking dare you?
100%.
I'm so angry. And you know what? I kind of like, go to your work wife. You'll be happy there. Does she love you like I can? No. She make the bed and tuck in the corners like I do? No.
Yeah, I just feel like the next update is not going
to
be.
I would love to hear back from you. What's our advice here? Run.
Monitor the situation. You know, get.
Yeah, what nerve? I want to spice things up. Why? Because you fell in love with your work wife. Now it's my problem.
Yeah, now that's on
me. I have to put on titty tassels? That ain't right. That ain't right. Now I have to incur the cost of all these new products for the bedroom because you fell in love with your work wife and you can't stop smiling at your phone? Dick, I hate this guy. Oh my God.
I know, but like, I think this is a common thing. Like, people, you spend a lot of time talking to the people that you work with. Say there's someone that you vibe with. It doesn't necessarily mean affair, but it is this like titillating extracurricular activity. What do you do about it?
That's why I'm girl with no job, you know, and I married boy with no job because he won't have a work wife because,
you know what?
I won't allow it. My house, we have a couple rules. You take your shoes off. And you don't have a work wife.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think that he needs a taste of his own medicine. I think you need to get a work husband. And I think you need to start smiling at your phone and like saying these things that you need to do in the bedroom that like would never occur to him. That, and then he'll be like, where are you getting these ideas?
Yes, yeah. That's the advice. That is it.
A taste of his own medicine.
Yes.
To see how uncomfortable it feels like to feel like second fiddle.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be like a work husband. If you could just find someone like who you really vibe with, like, and just like start texting them a lot.
Yeah. And smiling.
Or like literally like, I don't know, get on Tinder or something. Just like find someone. No,
because that's cheap. Like, oh, then that's you true. Cross the line.
That's true.
You
don't just, cross the line.
You just have to toe the line like he is.
Okay, you're right. You're right. Please update us. Like, I would love to know what this prick does next. Unless you guys, like, unless you're overblowing it and he's a nice guy and like you guys have happy ever after, and then I'm really happy for you. Hi, Claudia and Jackie. How you doing? My PJM boyfriend of 5 years recently proposed over the holiday season. Mazel tov. I couldn't be happier, but I'm already running into issues with my future sister-in-law. I love my fiance's family, but anytime the wedding is brought up, she always has something negative to say. She complains about how expensive a certain bachelorette location would be, but I wasn't even planning on inviting her to my bachelorette party. She has told us that we cannot have our wedding until spring of 2022, as she wants to get pregnant and have a baby before the summer. To top it all off, I will not
That's just not how weddings work,
no,
by the way.
They don't revolve
they don't
around...
revolve around
the groom's sister's
the
pregnancy.
Fertility calendar, yeah, of the groom's sister.
To top it all off, I will not be having her as a bridesmaid because I just don't want her in the wedding, and my fiance agrees, saying it is completely my decision. Sounds like you have a great fiance, so supportive.
Focus on that.
My future sister-in-law's best friend, okay, so the sister-in-law's best friend, who's like family, knows I'm not having her in the bridal party, but has said that the sister-in-law will be upset. How can I want to ask sorry, how can I want to ask her to be a bridesmaid where she's going to have to spend significantly more money than she would just as a guest when all she has done is make negative comments about all the aspects of the wedding and complains about it money constantly? I'm 100% sure I don't want her in the wedding, but I feel like I need to incorporate her in some other way. As two married women, any advice on what it could do to incorporate her into this day? So by the way, because she's married, the sister-in-law, you do have a little bit of an out because once you're married, like you don't always become a bridesmaid. Like you're like a matron or something.
A matron of honor. You could say that.
Like give her like a fake title. Yeah. Those exist for like married women who you don't want to be bridesmaids. And I just have to say, like, wedding is the one time in your life when you can be selfish. And like, I just would not give a single thought to what this girl's feeling is on the schedule, on the money, like.
Oh, of course. But I would just say that, like, if you do plan on burning this bridge, which I do think, like, not having her as part of your bridal party is a big F you need to be okay with, like,
the possible fallout.
Yeah. And me not having a close relationship with her. And I don't know how your husband's relationship is with her. But if you're going to do that, just realize what you're doing. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, because I think that someone brings so much negativity to your day.
It's right. And you just got engaged and you could already feel like the breeding ground of negativity.
Right. But I do think giving her this title, like matron of honor or something, you could say, like, I want you to be, and maybe she walks down in the wedding procession, like that's a fine thing for her to do.
But then that's no bachelorette party.
But then
party.
You say, like, you'll be like a matron of honor, so you'll be in my like wedding procession, but no obligation to be on the bachelorette party, as I know that like the cost is not something that you're willing to front.
Yeah. I you know, whenever, and like I experienced it a little bit with my own
you
wedding.
You could even like use her own words against her and be like, because I've heard all of your concerns about an expensive bachelorette party, I wanted to make sure that you didn't feel obligated to come.
I experienced
therefore,
it like
you're not a bridesmaid.
Very little with my own wedding, but when we read these Dear Toaster submissions, I'm always really, really surprised at how much gall people have during other people's like simchas.
It's crazy.
Like,
and all you have to do, it's so easy. You just show up literally
and be
like Claire.
Fucking quiet.
Yeah.
Like be quiet.
Show up,
and show
smile,
up.
Drink. Done.
Yeah, no, like I'm actually such a great wedding guest, even though I hate weddings. But like I will eat all your food, I will drink all your drinks, and I will dance the night away. Like I'm actually like a great I'm worth the $200,
you
know, whatever it costs.
It's easy to be a good wedding guest, but like say you're a bridesmaid for someone. Like I can't imagine saying anything like, okay, where are we going for the bachelorette? Sweet. Let's
go. You know
what?
It depends, because there are some girls and boys who have like a million best friends and have been a bridesmaids like a million times, where it's like I can probably count on my hand, besides for my family, like the people whose weddings I will be in and have been in, because I have like very few close friends, and so like their happiness like means so much to me because I value their friendship. But when you have like 1,000 best friends and you're
you
like going
got a
to
rogue friend that you feel obligated
camp,
to include
school college, like they're less meaningful.
Yeah.
And so like you're just whatever complaining about the bachelorette party because like you've been on 1,000 this year.
Yeah. So my advice would be to the single girls, really hone in on your close friends.
Yeah.
It's quality over quantity.
You
so
don't
that
need
way
a
you,
thousand
don't,
bridesmaids.
You don't have to make hard choices and you don't have to include girls who aren't going to be show up for you on
and
your
who are
going
to be negative.
Yeah.
So that's Dear Toasters. Again, you can always write into us, deartoasters@gmail.com. If you have written into us and we have read your prompt on air, please write us again. Let us know how it turned out. A little update we would always appreciate. And next up, we've got our interview with Cameron Westcott from The Real Housewives of Dallas. If you're watching us on YouTube, the interview is podcast only since we are living in COVID times. Cameron joined us via Zoom and she is just a queen and it's such a fun interview. She's such a great gal.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. And thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast. Enjoy. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye. Welcome back to the podcast. We are honored to be joined by someone we've been speaking about a lot here at the podcast, someone who is now a two-time guest, Miss Cameron Westcott from The Real Housewives of Dallas. Hello, Cameron. Thank you so much for
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited. Like seeing you guys makes me so happy. So
Oh my God. Seeing you makes us so happy. Seeing you back on TV with the girls. Like we are so happy to have Real Housewives of Dallas back in our lives. And this season is just off to a great start.
Yeah, a really, really fiery start too. Like lots of Twitter drama. We've been keeping up with it all.
It is too much. Like I have like anxiety over this Twitter drama. I'm not used to this stuff. Like I know other, other franchises have Twitter drama sometimes, but I'm like, oh my God, it gives me like anxiety.
Well, yeah. You're really holding your own against one Miss Tiffany Moon. We saw a little bit of the drama start. I could definitely feel like there was some tension at the dim sum brunch. And then it kind of took it to another level on Twitter. And then you were on Watch What Happens Live and you looked great. Have you spoken to Tiffany in real life off social media yet?
Since dim sum?
Yeah.
Yes. We, you know, her and I, we text here and there, but we don't have like full conversations. You know, she actually reached out to me after the show and wanted to get dinner and like catch up. And I was moving and things got, you know, kind of crazy with the move. And so we really just haven't caught up and, you know, talked about things. So yeah, we haven't seen each other since.
Have Damn. You moved officially?
Yes, I'm in my dream house now. Look at this. I'm like literally here. I can't believe it. I literally sold my house and I, during a pandemic, which is so crazy, I didn't even think that was possible. And it sold so fast. My realtor sold it in like 20, like literally 24, it was like 24 hours.
So this season is really just, you guys are only like 2 or 3 episodes in, but it really feels, and what I love about Dallas is like, I feel like you guys have really true friendships that are on the show, yes. off the show, between a lot of the women, but this is our first season without Leanne. And we spoke to DeAndra last week on the podcast about how the attitude of the show definitely feels more different. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree. I do think the other girls put their walls down because I do believe the other girls put their walls down because Leanne is no longer in her group. And I think they were able to get to know me more and not be as nervous. I think they were all very afraid of Leanne, sadly. I mean, I don't think they want to admit it, but I think they had guards up around her. And it makes me sad because I really wish they had gotten to know the real her because I loved her and I thought she was really, really great. So I think the dynamic is, you know, just us having more fun together and enjoying each other and like trusting each other and just, you know, going out and having fun. We're yeah, outside that, though when we go out.
That definitely comes through. I feel like one of the friendships that we're so excited about seeing play out is the friendship between you and Stephanie, because in past seasons it's been a little tense between the two of you. Yeah. So how
it's
did
been
you guys,
hard for us?
It's been hard for us as viewers, and like you guys are both of our fan favorites, and we would never pick a side. Yeah, so ever. How did you guys come to reconcile and start to build a great friendship?
Yeah. Well, I'm so beyond thankful for that, that we're friends right now. I literally can't believe I'm sitting here even saying this, but we're really good friends. Like I talk to her the most over, I talked to her and Carrie Brittingham the most on the cast actually, which is so funny. And I even talked to Brandy also. We text each other all the time too. And that actually never really happened before.
Who would have thought?
So who would have thought? But you know, it really was Carrie Brittingham bringing us together, because Carrie's like, oh my God, Cam is fun. You guys, you got to give her a chance. And you know, sometimes I could come off stuffy and, you know, maybe like I look at you funny and people think I'm uptight, but like when people get to know me, it's like, that's not who I am. I can come off looking like that. I mean, but once they got to know me, they realized like, oh wait, I'm actually fun. They actually like me. So I was like, yes, I'm like, I got more friends. I'm so excited. And we really are just having the best time together. And I always wanted to be their friend. I always want to be their friend. And somehow, I don't know how all this drama always got in between us. I really don't know how. And I really think they didn't trust me because I was so close to Liam, and they were afraid of Liam. So they were like, ooh, we're afraid of Liam, so we don't trust Cam. Like, I think I just,
no, I think that's actually a really accurate, like historical, like that really is how it went down. And in terms of Carrie, I love Carrie, but she's definitely becoming a little polarizing. I think that Tiffany was kind of put off by her, and some of the women were like, no, that's just like how she is. It's not, she's not bullying. She's just like the fun police, but in a good way.
She's the fun police.
But it did feel like, you know, what Tiffany was accusing Carrie of, she ended up really doing to you at the dim sum brunch, like just kind of pressuring you.
Yeah. And I don't understand that. She literally says one thing and then does something the next day exactly the same. You'll see that a few times throughout the season. So it's very confusing for me. And, you know, people ask me, you know, what was one word that described the season? And I'm like, kind of confusing at times. Confusing.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, will we get to see your home journey on this season since you sold your home quickly and then found your dream home?
You are going to get it. You're going to get to see my home journey. You're going to get to see the highs and lows of the whole process, cleaning up. I had to make sure my house was clean. And the thing is, if we did have a tour, we just had a hope that everyone coming in was healthy and we'd have just, you know, Lysol everything after the tour. And we ended up driving around the block because we couldn't go anywhere when we had an open house. Like, where were we going to go? We couldn't take the animals and kids anywhere with COVID. So we would drive around the block. I mean, there was times when we were filming and we had an open house and I literally was in my robe and full glam sitting at the park. And Carrie calls me. She's like, what are you doing? I go, well, I didn't have time to get dressed because I'm in such a rush. I'm in glam and I'm in my robe sitting in my car waiting for the people to get out of my house.
That is that's so hysterical. Funny. Oh, my God. Yeah, and by the way, people can't see you because we're doing a podcast, but you are wearing one of the cutest sweaters that has a little embroidered picture of your new dog, Fancy.
Yes.
I was really shook hearing about how your previous dog, Louie, passed away. And honestly, like, if I was in that situation, like, I don't think I would ever forgive my husband. Like, I would kill him in exchange for the life that he took. So how are you guys reconciling that? That is really traumatic.
It was so hard. I have to be completely honest. We had to do therapy sessions because I blamed him. And I told him when I was going to New York for Fashion Week, I literally get in the Uber and he says, I got everything taken care of. And I said, give my dog his medicine. He goes, oh, I got it taken care of. Oh yeah. I talked to him later that night. He didn't give the dog the medicine. I literally am freaking out. He's on the phone with me saying he can't find my dog. And I go, what do you mean you can't find my dog? My heart automatically dropped. And I was like, thinking the worst. Oh my God, my dog is probably dead on a floor somewhere. I like literally freaked out. He hired a therapist to be at my house when I came home from New York because he was so afraid of me.
A buffer. That's actually really smart.
That's a really good idea.
Yes.
And so how was the training going with the new dog? That was so funny when the dog
that was so interesting to watch. You got so many good factoids about training. I'm also training a puppy right now and I'm like, oh, I need to do that more.
Oh, Brad Bevel is so beyond amazing. And he's with Bevel Dog Training. And he is like, I honestly have never met a dog trainer that has been so amazing in years. And he has trained Fancy to be a little robot. When Brad comes over and he starts doing like the tricks with Fancy, I'm like, I still am learning how to do everything that he does. I mean, obviously I'm never going to be that good, but she came home, no accidents anymore. She doesn't tear stuff up. She's not going after my shoes anymore. She had no remorse. She would chew molding before she left. Before she left for puppy school, she would chew my molding in my bathroom.
Especially when you're trying to sell your house. That's really fucked up.
I know. I'm like, I literally would give her bones and she would literally chew the molding.
That's so funny. Well, she seems like she's on a good journey.
Yeah, she's on a great journey. And she's just the littlest, happiest little Pomeranian. She's so cute.
Speaking of puppies, Sparkle Dog is like popping off right now. I saw you guys are making bully sticks, which I'm going to have to get because my dog is addicted to bully sticks. How is everything going in the Sparkle Dog world?
Yes, it's going really great. Fancy loves everything that Louie picked out. You know, Louie, it was the taste tester of everything. So she has approved everything, which is amazing.
Thank God.
I know. I wouldn't know if she wasn't eating the treats that Louie, I would be like, we're going to have a major problem over here. But thank gosh, she loves everything. And I don't know what I'd do without my bully sticks because they're so amazing. Yeah. And especially during this pandemic, they go straight to your door. Everything's on Amazon. So it is the easiest thing. They, you know, Amazon Prime, they'll be in your door in 2 seconds. And we got
bully sticks. That's so great.
We got a Sparkle Dog multivitamin chewy bites, which are little heart-shaped vitamins. And it's like it's a little soft chew vitamin. They take one a day. And then we also have all different shapes and flavors of the dog biscuits.
Wow. So the Cameron Westcott brand is just exploding on all ends because you're also now a podcaster, which first of all, we'd like to officially welcome you into the podcast space. I think you're going to be great.
Thank you.
Well, honestly, when I'm watching you, I feel like maybe more this season, you're just getting a lot more airtime in terms of your confessionals and you're being so funny and like honestly like kind of savage. And I think that if you're going to bring that energy to your podcast and people are really going to respond to it and you're co-hosting it with your castmate Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really excited. You know, I think what happened with me is it took me a couple years to really put my wall down and get comfortable with being in the public eye and having all this attention. Like I wasn't ever used to that. Like I'd never been that type of person. And I really feel like you guys are just really getting to see the real me. And I think because I'm being so real and open that I'm getting more airtime naturally just because, you know, people are liking it. So I'm like, yes, I'm like, it's so great. And I think I just don't care what people think anymore. You know, I think I get to a point where it's like, I know who I am. I know my morals and my values. I'm not going to alter them for attention. I'm going to be who I am. And if people like me, that's great. And they don't, oh, well.
That's so freeing to have that mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It took me a couple of years.
It takes time. It really does.
I think one of my favorite memories of you on Housewives is when you brought everyone. I think it was your home in Colorado. Is that right?
Yes.
Are we ever going back? Because that was such an iconic trip. And I feel like this group of ladies that are really jiving very well, like, need a Colorado weekend.
I 100% agree. I am so beyond sad. We sold our Colorado house. I am heartbroken. It was actually my in-laws' house and they no longer wanted to ski. And so we were like, oh my gosh. And so we were going to downsize because the house was huge and we really didn't need that much space up there because we were the only ones that went up there. And then we ended up just not following through, but I'm hoping I could take the ladies to our Palm Springs house one day or our Santa Barbara house. So crossing fingers.
Yeah. We'd love to see either.
Yeah,
we would. Your kids are also so funny with the filming. I feel it's obviously like an unnatural thing to have like a full-blown camera crew in your bedroom, but I feel like they kind of like it. Do they feel like celebrities?
Okay, my daughter, I think, secretly likes it because she wants to be an actress. She wants to be on Broadway, okay? She wants to be a singing actress. And she likes it, but she also only can handle so many hours of the day. You know, after the first hour, she's like, I'm tired. I'm done with this. And so, you know, filming during the pandemic, we did a lot of personal stories. So it was really hard for the kids because, you know, they had a lot more filming time and they got really tired. My son just does whatever my daughter does.
Yeah. How is your husband with all of the filming and having more cameras?
He is so funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I can't believe he was such a sport to film more this year since we're doing a lot more personal story being stuck inside. I was shocked that he was being open to it and he was okay. And I think it was because it was the summer and we really couldn't travel. And he was like, well, you know, work is slow because it's the summer anyway. So he was willing to jump in and do more. But yeah, he always thinks I'm ridiculous half the time, which is funny.
You guys have a hysterical like banter, like the way you guys just go back and forth. It's so fun to watch.
Oh, thank you. I swear. And I find myself like loving, like getting his reactions on his face. I'm like, what's he going to think of this? What's he going to think of it?
Do you guys watch together?
Yes, we watch together. And, you know, he's always on his phone as he's watching with me, but he definitely gets excited when the episode comes through. And then sometimes he'll pull this whole thing where he's like, I'm not watching it. I'm busy today. I'm not watching it. And then when he gets home, the first thing he goes, okay, let's watch it. Okay. Let's watch it.
No, of course. Men love reality TV, but they have to pretend like they don't.
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing. Yes. Well, you look gorgeous. Also, final question I have for you. You were on Watch Robins Live. Your confessional looks are so sickening, just like being elevated every season with the glam and the hair and the makeup and the outfits. What is like your inspiration? What is your mood board? What's on your mood board for your Housewives confessional looks?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm actually trying to pick my next confessional look right now. I've submitted 3 different fabulous dresses and I always love it when I have, you know, some pink on me, no matter what, because that's kind of, you know, my signature color. I'm always fighting for pink in my confessional or anything I'm doing with the show. Of course, I just, you know, I'm a pinkaholic, but I love sparkle. I love adding any type of sparkle to anything I can find. Anything that sparkles, I'm like, yes, it makes me happy. So pink and sparkles has to be in there somewhere. I have an amazing glam team and they help bounce ideas off of me as well. So I can't take full credit, but they are so talented. You guys saw my glam girls. Oh my God. They walk in at like 7 a.m. look like they came out of a photo shoot. Right. I'm like, wow. and they're fashionistas. And when I don't know what to wear, sometimes they go in my closet and pick up my outfit. I'm like, it's one-stop shop with them.
Oh my God. That's amazing. So helpful. You have to rewear the outfit that you wore and Watch What Happens Live because it's such a shame that we didn't get to see it like in studio, in person, full top and bottom. Cause that was just like the greatest look.
Thank you. I submitted that actually for confessional and I would never submit something twice when I've already worn on camera, but I feel like no one got to see it, you know, because it was so pretty and it was like the bottom you couldn't see well.
I would love to know what your philosophy is on outfit repeating.
Okay. So I have like a rule. It has to be 8 tiles. Like if you post like an outfit on Instagram, it has to be 8 tiles below that to post again. Okay.
I think that's doable.
Yeah. And I wear things over all the time because I like to buy really nice things sometimes. And I'm not going to buy a Fendi skirt and have it sit in my closet and never wear it again. I'm going to wear it again, but change the accessories, change the shirt, make it look like a different outfit, but you'll still be able to tell it's the same skirt, but it has to be lower on the feet.
That's a good philosophy. That's why I asked. I knew you would have a good answer.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you guys, make sure to catch Cameron on The Real Housewives of Dallas every week on Bravo and check out her new podcast co-hosted with Carrie Brittingham. It's called Cameron and Carrie Do Dallas, right?
Cam and Carrie Do Dallas.
So cute. Congrats so on cute. All your success on an amazing season of Dallas. We cannot wait to see what happens next.
Thanks so much. I have so much to learn from you guys. So I'm so excited to be in the podcast world.
Yes.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Bye.